like he's driving the Hoff 3000, which of course is, you know, voiced by David Hasselhoff.
Is it like Kit?
I might have to watch this.
The whole
Hoff 3000.
Yeah, it's like at one point during the giant fight scene, the tracking starts going.
Did anyone ever tell you not to hassle the Hoff 9000?
Oh, Hoff 9000.
Another edition of the Falls Cast, brought to you by the Falls Free Press in beautiful Quagga Falls, Ohio, where today is Sunday, October 10th. I haven't been outside, so I don't actually know what it's like out there.
It's dreary out there. It just feels like fall. All the leaves are coming down, and it just
it's
has
humid.
Fall.
It's so humid.
Falling. Yeah, it is humid.
Falling.
It's moist out.
Moist.
That's Mike's favorite word.
Love that word. Makes me giggle every time.
We're here with some of our favorite Falls casters, including Mr. Moist himself, Mike Searle.
Hello, everybody. And I still fucking hate you, Alex.
Oh, already. Those swear
vitriol.
Words.
Yes. Sorry, Bart.
We are not here with Alex Hall.
Loser.
He was here like one time and then just left.
Loser.
He's skipping class again. I think we need to give him an F.
Spine hooky.
We are still here also with Suzanne Searle.
Hello.
Also here, and Cassie, I'm going to try to get your name right, is Cassie McMenemy.
Yay.
Good morning.
Enemy. Enemy.
Make an enemy.
And finally, we have Jennifer, and next to her, Stephen Buley.
Howdy doodly doo. Moo.
Ooh. Hello.
Oh, man.
Inside joke.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of those days.
You had to be here like 32 minutes ago for us for you to understand.
No, they didn't.
On today's Fallscast, we will not have an interview. However, please continue to listen and be sure to check out next week's episode for more interview goodness.
Also, we continue to encourage our readers and listeners to shop local. You hear it every week. I mean, what excuse do you have not to?
Yeah, none.
Got nothing.
Money, time, whatever. You only live once. Shop Cuyahoga Falls. Ooh, that's
and
good.
If you do live twice, shop Cuyahoga Falls again.
Come back from the dead and shop again.
Yeah, right.
Did anybody shop anywhere really cool in the falls this week?
I went to Celia's.
Oh,
got
yeah.
A shirt. Yeah, bought a t-shirt there.
We went somewhere and I can't remember where. And it was food oriented, like eating, not buying. So I don't really remember.
It was really memorable, obviously.
Oh, I'll keep thinking about it. My Alzheimer's kicked in and Steve isn't functioning yet.
Nope.
Robot malfunction.
We went to Village Gardens for the first time. Well, my first time. Mike's
your
been there
first
before.
Time.
Oh, what'd you have?
It was your first time going to Village Gardens?
I know, isn't that crazy?
Holy crap.
How was it?
She got the
chicken. Yeah, it was breakfast. We got eggs and stuff. So, I mean, it was good. We got to sit outside. We did some lit drop for some people and felt like I burned enough calories of doing that I could get some breakfast. So, yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, they were really busy. I don't know if that's normal or not, but we were going to go to Flurry's, but there was like a line out the door, and we're like,
was it a week weekend day or midweek?
It was yesterday.
Yesterday. Oh, okay. So yeah. It was about 12-ish.
They do a big business crowd, a big breakfast crowd. Their lunches are really good, too. I mean, and we go there for lunch a lot. They have some good sandwiches, and it's cheap. It really is. It's cheap for what you get. And
yeah. The coffee was good, and the eggs were cooked, and, it was good.
It's breakfast.
Solid.
It was breakfast.
Solid, standard breakfast. Grits, toast, home fries, bacon, whatever.
Yeah. The home fries were good.
Yeah.
They were, sometimes those can be, like, undercooked and not very good. But, yeah, they were really good. So, that's what we did. Did we go anywhere else, Mike? I feel like we went somewhere else. We did something.
did Shelf Life. That was last weekend. That was last Sunday, weekend. I believe.
Yeah.
I did
Astros. No, we talked about that. That was Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, was that Saturday?
Mm, oh, yeah. We already talked about this.
My bad, my bad. Rewind.
There was really never a bad excuse to go to Shelf Life, though.
There is never a bad excuse. Was that right? Is that proper English?
My gooder English.
My gooder English.
Well, I mean, if you're really gassy and you really don't want to go in a closed environment like that, so that's probably a bad reason not to go.
Or do you?
You torture everybody and then want to look at you weird and kick you out.
Well, it's not a bad reason for you yourself. To go, just everybody else.
Well, that's true.
So I recall that Friday we went to that bell tower place.
Yes, we did that.
Not Cog Falls, but that was Kent.
Yeah, we went to a soft opening for my friend's brewery, Bell Tower Brewing in Kent. Their opening was awesome.
Yeah. Is that an old church, right? Or something? I mean,
The building was, it's an old church built in 1858.
Yeah. 310 Park Road, Park Avenue, Park Road.
Yeah. But, it's right near
the Kent Free Library, right next to that.
Looks like down the street, like a block.
Not even.
Well, yeah, that's not too far into Kent then. I mean, no, we can talk about it.
59 and you take a left on Park and it's right there.
What kind of beer do they have? I mean, do they make their own or what's the...
Oh, yeah. It's a brewery. It's a full-on brewery.
Yeah. She has a lot of lagers. She has Saison, Kolsch, Pilsner, one hazy IPA, and what else?
She's still trying to...
She had a couple guest beers where she went to their brewery and it was a collaboration. Brew.
She went there on brew day and helped them brew it. And
yeah, had a few of those. So she had quite a hodgepodge.
They have kombucha homemade kombucha on tap.
Yep.
They're going to have mixed drink menu. They have food, good food. They have a good chef. Yeah, it's the place is huge. You can, fire marshals, like over 200 people can hold.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Is she going to do events? Like, can you rent out the place or what?
Yeah, they are. Yep. They will.
They will.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to open sometime this month. So it's all been soft opening.
Towards the end of the month, they're thinking. That's what they have, because the chef's going on vacation one of the weeks. And so they have to make sure the chef's back in town and he's getting, it's just crap like that. So,
yeah. But this month they're going to open and it'll be great. We'll have to have a field trip.
I think she's going to have three or four more beers on tap that she brewed there, because I saw them in the tanks when I was there the other day.
They're fermenting and whatnot.
Get ready.
What is the name again?
Bell Tower Brewery.
And it's located at
310 Park Avenue in Kent, Ohio.
Very good. All right. Well, maybe you guys can do a tap talk and get a little more information on that. Bart, where did you go?
I had a busy day Thursday visiting most of downtown. I got breakfast at Flurry's. I stopped in and visited Upfront Art Space, which I haven't been to in ages. And, of course, the perfect birthday present for myself, the great women rulers of literature ruler.
What? Where'd you get that?
Up front.
That's cool.
That is really, I can't really see. Bring it to the camera a little bit more. Oh, that's cool. Okay. I'm going to have to go get one of those.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, and then, of course, the other side is the actual ruler.
That's cool. That'd be a good present for Kaylee.
It would. Yeah, that is just awesome in general.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the ruler only 70% the size of a regular ruler, because...
Oh!
Bad joke.
It's funny because it's true.
Yes. I had to throw it out there.
Well, for him being the only male in this household, he has to have some kind of, outlet for that.
There's no spite or hatred. I'm just bringing the attention to it. That's bullshit.
We appreciate that. Our younger daughter is minoring in women's studies, so he gets a little bit of the pushback on that sometimes, so we appreciate you.
A little.
A little.
But then I made my way over to Metropolis Popcorn and got some...
Oh, yum.
Yeah, I was smart. I only got a small bag, but...
Was that smart? Really? I don't know. You probably wanted more.
I wanted more, yeah. And then wandered over to Reverie and got a lovely Burl Ives Christmas ornament in the form of the snowman from Rudolph.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, I
love that dude.
They also have a Foxy Fauci Christmas ornament.
Oh.
So I did not get that one. But, a coworker of mine almost got it.
It's always a good time to go in there.
Yeah. And then one novel to shelf life and, you know, bought a book that I didn't need, but I'm sure I'll read anyway.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely.
There's no such thing as too many books. If someone says so, they need to be punished.
By being beaten with a ruler or maybe even a book.
Oh, dang. That took a dark turn.
But so, yeah, it was a busy day downtown.
That's good. There's a lot of cool places down there, so you could spend a whole day there.
Say, would Cinemark count? Because Kendall and I went to Cinemark.
That's right. You Venom, did.
But that's not really a local.
It is.
It is.
It's a chain.
Well, it's a chain, but it's still here in the Falls. And how was the movie?
Hilariously funny. It's actually similar to the first one, you know. You knew it was going to be kind of cheesy. It was only like an hour and a half, you know, perfect time in and out. It was a good watch. It was funny.
Yeah.
I remember where we went.
Uh-oh.
The Blue Door on our anniversary.
Ooh.
Oh.
Like a brunch. Yeah. Yeah. Still tasty.
Yeah, we're thinking of maybe doing that tomorrow.
It's our anniversary,
so.
It's our anniversary, yeah. Do you need reservations?
I think they're closed on Mondays.
They might be closed on Mondays.
They're closed on Mondays?
Maybe. I don't know. Double check it. Double check.
Used to be closed on Mondays. That might have changed.
I'm not for sure. Mm.
Well,
oh, well.
Please, your call is very important to us, and will be answered in the order it was received.
And as always, we still would love to hear your article ideas or submissions of your own work, or even interviewee ideas. I saw in the email somebody suggested a couple new places to check out to interview, and we will definitely be on that. I know right now we're working on going through the candidates, but in November, I know I have a bunch of ideas for interviews, and like I said, we got some of them being emailed to us, and we're definitely, November's going to be packed.
Good. That's good.
Be busy.
So if you got an idea for us, just drop us a line at fallsfreepress@gmail.com or via our Facebook page.
Or Instagram.
Or Instagram. I don't think I've seen our Instagram page as busy as it has this in forever.
Working on it.
Well, it helps to actually post stuff to it, then people usually interact.
What are you talking about?
That
sounds
bad.
People
it seems to help.
By mistake,
what are you
know?
Talking about?
What are you, that is weird. I don't believe you.
Also, keep sending your feedback to us to our email, Facebook, or review us on Apple Podcasts. Send us a Telegram. You know, learn
Hire.
More.
Okay.
Code.
Hire your pigeon. Hire your pigeon.
Maybe a fax. Send a fax.
You laugh, but so many people are still using faxes lately.
I still get faxes.
We do. We do. It's annoying, but we do.
I remember when the first fax came on the Phil Donahue show, and it was like from somebody in Australia. And it was like, oh my God.
Before that, it was teletype.
What about mimeograph?
Well, basically, somebody was another console, and they would type it in, and then it would send it to another machine, and then it would print it out as they typed it. Teletype.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Technology. That only took, what, 3 hours to do?
It was a big deal back then.
Yeah, well, yeah, no. I think that's something that we kind of forget because we're so used to the technology about how much it has kind of exploded in the last, you know, well, in our generation. So,
yeah, 30 years.
Yeah.
We're old. No one knows who Phil Donahue is.
Yeah, I was
I remember.
Like, does anybody know who that is?
Remember Phil Donahue. Merv Griffin.
Oh, Mal, well, you're not that old.
I'm old. My grandma used to watch it.
Right.
I watched it by proxy. Like Falcon Crest and Dallas and all that shit.
Yep.
Fantasy Island.
Oh, God, yes.
Love Boat.
The plane.
A-Team, yes.
Oh, the A-Team. Yeah.
Dukes of Hazzard.
Animal.
Dukes of Hazzard.
Love Dukes of Hazzard. It's not appropriate now when you think about it.
No.
Well, it's
so wrong.
It could have been for
there was
young,
actually,
boys.
Yeah, there was an episode of This American Life a few weeks ago where they were talking to a rapper, and he actually has a song about the General Lee, because when he was growing up, that was the big thing, was the General Lee. And
had a boxcar.
Yeah, it didn't matter if it had the Confederate flag on the top. I mean, you saw these two guys just jumping in, you know, through the windows and racing off. They were superheroes.
Yeah, yeah.
To this day, it's still my favorite muscle car, that and a Chevelle SS. Those two cars are my two favorites.
But my little matchbox car, it had the It was like in the shape of an X, the Confederate flag, like the two strips. So it wasn't like the real looking Confederate flag, but it was.
Okay.
So, but I didn't care about that. I just thought
it was
cool.
Is that like the battle flag? Like, isn't there a difference between like the Confederate flag
battle and flag? Yeah.
I'll
have to look it up.
That flag was never really used much until, you know, the Jim Crow era.
Yeah.
And then it was brought back for that reason.
I recently saw a Starsky and Hutch car, which I don't know what that is, but is that what that is?
Gran Torino. Yeah, it's a Gran Torino GT. I think it was 1971.
I never liked that car. I always thought that car was ugly. I don't like Gran Torinos. I think they're ugly.
No, they're not bad. I mean,
I like the show.
It's more like a family sedan, but.
It is. You know. Absolutely, yeah.
It's a beast of a car, though.
No, I guess it really is the Confederate flag, maybe. Something like that. Oh, well.
Yeah, see.
And finally, please get vaccinated, wear a mask. You know, how soon are we to children being able to get vaccinated?
Just probably a couple weeks. It's been submitted, and the FDA is going to make a general ruling here, right? I think something's going to happen next week. So, and boosters, get your booster if you're eligible.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine that got mine, got his, and he's my age. I don't know if he has any pre-COVID morbidities. I'm not going to say his name, but yeah, he got his, and he posted a picture of his wife got it, and he got it. They're giving them, I guess, if you meet certain criteria.
One of my colleagues already got hers.
Yeah, my dad got his booster. So
yeah, I'm trying to get my dad to get his, but since he was in the hospital with pneumonia, they wouldn't let him for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And then they're gonna next week you'll be able to bring him in.
Yeah, and yeah, soon the 5-year-olds to 11-year-olds will be able to get their shots. So mask up, vax up, stay away.
Yeah.
Why is there something going on? Something I don't know.
What
about.
Happened?
Did you miss it?
I must have missed something.
It's the great pandemic, Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
That was good.
Our Halloween costume.
So now to our roundtable discussion. Well, it happened as we expected. We said it last week. Wednesday school board meeting at the Nash brought protesters and supporters alike to speak about the mask mandates that were extended to October 29th. One person was escorted out after making rude comments to a person speaking, and multiple speakers, all pro-masks, were interrupted.
Yep.
Suzanne, you were there.
Yeah, we were there, and it was something. I mean, when the anti-maskers spoke, they were respected. Nobody said anything. Nobody booed. Nobody jeered. I mean, they spoke and they said ridiculous things like children are not, can't be affected by COVID-19 at all. And just ridiculous things that are just not true. But they allowed them to speak. And then as soon as the people that spoke in favor of the masks in school, it just became ugly. They were jeers. There were just rude comments. And one person did have to be escorted by the police because he stood up and said, "Suck it harder," to one of the speakers and school board member. And the police did escort him out. It was just, I don't know. I'm surprised. There's somebody that is actually running for school board that was sitting there just being gross, and there was a 10-year-old that came up and talked after hearing other people get pretty much just lambasted with just rude comments and things like that. And she was brave enough to stand up there and speak her truth, and they were even heckling her. And just, it was just sad. It's just sad that there's no respect. No respect at all.
What was the line that she was quoted saying? One of them was heckling her. She's like, "It was rude, but, you know, sit down." And what did she say?
"No, please be quiet. Let me speak."
Yeah.
"Let me speak."
Oh, yeah, let me speak.
It was one of those things. She's like, you know, "Let me speak before you go off." And it was just very, her voice. I mean, in the beginning, you could tell that she was nervous. She's timid, but they just kept heckling her. And her voice, she raised her voice and was very firm. And it was impressive. I mean, I don't think that I would have been able to do it. I probably would have got up there and started crying the way that it is. And she was very respectful but firm about it. Like, "Please let me speak. Can I speak?" And I think that was a line that was really just resonated with a lot of us in there because they weren't letting anybody speak.
They're just complete jerks and hypocrites about it because they got their turn. They were treated with civility and respect, mm-hmm. but they couldn't offer the same in return. And it just shows what low assholes they are. And what was the name of the person who's running for school board?
Betty Sprague Chalais.
Yeah. You know, and if she couldn't ask for civility and respect, she has no right to be on the school board.
She was in the in that group of people who are interrupting and spouting the anti-mask ideas.
And spouting misinformation and disinformation. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So she has no right to be making decisions about what kind of an education our children get if she can't even tell the fucking truth. And she can't be respectful.
She doesn't know what the fucking truth is.
And she can't treat a child with respect. So you're going to have that kind of trash on your school
even
board?
More than,
fuck that.
Even more than that, whatever your beliefs are going to be, left, right, or, you know, pro, against, whatever, the fact that you're running for school board and you can't even follow the standard decorum of a meeting, you know, mm-hmm. and you're going to be there and either allow it to happen and or instigate it is bullshit, you know. And then as soon as that's done, you leave the meeting. And don't see the meeting through to the, you know, the end of it. You just came for one fucking thing to get your, you know, name out there or spew your bullshit and not actually sit through the whole fucking meeting to see how any of it runs. Yep. So why are you going to sit there and try to run for, you know, school board, whatever? Same with our Mary Stemple. I've seen her at one city council meeting, you know, way back when. You know, it's like you're going to sit here and spew garbage about how you hate how the administration is running or how this is running or, you know, this is not working right, blah, blah, blah. But yet you're not going to show up to the thing that you want to change. You know, you're not going to have a presence or any kind of input on anything. Yes.
Yeah.
It's just, every single school board candidate was there and she left, but everybody else stayed. And they have been showing up and they have been sitting in the back and being quiet. I did not hear one peep from anybody else who was running for school board. They were all very respectful back there. And they sat through the whole process and they have been. I mean, they have been coming to the school board meetings to see what it's like, not just for when the cameras are there. They are there to see how it works. And they were respectful, even when people, I think somebody said something about a 13-year-old, you overheard them say.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the gentleman that was escorted out or if it was another guy who just left. I mean, because there were a couple that left on their own without being escorted out by the police. But some gentleman, shall I say, stood up, said some crap, whatever. And there was a mother there who made a comment about, you know, I can't remember exactly what she said, but, you know, it was long lines of, you know, well, thank you for speaking out in front of my 13-year-old or whatever, or saying some shit, you know, thank you for using that language in front of my 13-year-old. And the guy looked over and said, she's 13. Maybe you should go next door and work out or something to that effect. And it's like, I don't know if he was talking to the 13-year-old or talking shit to the mother, you know, about possibly being overweight or whatnot.
Well, he's a giant piece of shit.
Yeah.
He's a douchebag. And I'm like, and that was the mentality of most of the people that were there. And even like I found out one of the girls I knew and her husband was one of the ones that was speaking out against the masks. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, you fucking douchebags. You know, it's like I have known you people and people that we know together have had COVID and some of them haven't done very well and some are still suffering long-term effects from it. And I'm like, these are people that you went to school with and were friends with or are friends with. I don't know if they still are, you know, but I'm like, you know, you have known people that have had this and possibly, you know, a couple of them have died from it. And yet you still think it's a fucking hoax. You know, even the lady behind us, you know, Suzanne and I were sitting there and this lady behind us is sitting there saying that, you know, this little girl is watching the wrong news. And, you know, they're in Japan. The reason why the rates are so low is because they're using ivermectin over there, you know, a fucking dewormer that is curing people in 3 to 5 days, you know, when the CDC says that is a very bad course of treatment and doesn't work. But then she's sitting there spewing, you know, as Suzanne says, I've had people close to me die from COVID and, you know, please stop talking. This lady's still insisting that, oh, they didn't die from COVID. They drowned. I'm like, okay, well, yes, technically, yes, you are correct. They did drown from pneumonia induced by or caused by fucking COVID. You know, and it's like
that's not how the rating of cause and death works. No.
Yeah,
it's just ridiculous. It's like, yeah, their lungs, you know, filled up with fluid. And so essentially, yeah, they probably died of drowning in their own freaking fluid. And it's so that makes it better. It just defined logic where she was trying to talk to us. And I was like, please stop talking to us. I asked her has she lost anybody with COVID? And she's like, no. And I said, well, I have. Could you please just stop talking? Because I'm like, I just was trying to listen to it, and I did not need it behind me, her trying to engage in questions, saying that a 10-year-old's watching the wrong news and, you know, oh, my gosh, she's brainwashed. And I'm like, I really do not want to have this conversation with you. It's not going to go well. Please back off. And she wouldn't.
When she was saying people that are getting vaccinated are dying from blood clots, I'm like, you know what people are dying from blood clots also is fucking COVID.
More
so, you're 10 times more likely to die from a blood clot from COVID than from a blood clot from a vaccine.
Yeah, I'm like, you're having systemic organ failures and whatnot because of clotting issues because of fucking COVID. But yet you want to sit there and say, yes, this is a possible side effect, you know, of taking a vaccine. That's with any fucking vaccine, you know. Yeah. It's like you're going to have possible
Tylenol
side effects.
Taking Tylenol can cause liver damage.
Yes.
Correct. I mean, it happens.
Every drug has a side effect,
yeah.
You know.
I can fall down my stairs and break my fucking neck.
Oh, don't take the stairs. Stairs
are
dangerous.
Walk down
the
stairs.
Are they wooden stairs or are they stone stairs? Because, you know, maybe the type of stairs might be the issue.
You're right, you know.
I did read that the guys that got removed were not even from Cuyahoga Falls and didn't have children in the school systems and don't pay taxes here.
There were two, and I mean, there was only three people that stood up and spoke. So, against wearing the masks. And the two that were kind of just, they refused to give their address. But a simple Google search can tell you where they live. And, I mean, it's just they're there, I think, specifically to sow discord and not to have a beneficial conversation. There was one gentleman that spoke that was not necessarily anti-mask, but he was there to speak up against it. But he was very respectful. I think it is the way that we should be having this conversation. And he made really valid points where he was like, should this be our first defense or should we do more of like social distancing and stuff like that? Because he has kids that are in elementary school and his concern was that the kids still can't social distance. And is this something that we can look at doing? In my opinion, I think that that's kind of impossible to do unless we start going back to like a hybrid model like we did last year, which is what we're trying not to do. But he made good points and he was valid and he was respectful to the school board and said that you have a hard decision to make. And I'm like, that is a really good way of having a conversation. That is helpful to have the conversation. You're asking very valid questions.
It stimulates a conversation you can have back and forth, and that can lead to a compromise.
When you have masks, mandatory masks in schools, it keeps kids in schools. Less kids get quarantined. There's less people, teachers that are out from sicknesses. Period. It just cycles. It just keeps everyone. I mean, that's the one thing. Biggest tool they have in the toolbox, the easiest tool. Everyone wear masks. More people stay in school. Kids are learning. They're not at home, not doing, you know, screwing off or whatever. So, I mean, I just think it's in everyone's best interest to do that. The idea that masks are child abuse is absolutely fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
And do you guys want to talk about how some people had flyers left on their car?
Sure. There was somebody that had a flyer that we knew of that was, you want to talk about it because you saw the picture and it was left on social, it was on social media or that she.
She took the picture of it right after she took it off her windshield and. So, I mean, it definitely happened. It was the night of the thing. And I'm not going to name names of who it was, but it's just fucked up how they're targeting people like that and trying to intimidate them.
Yeah. Well, the first gentleman that spoke who was, you know, saying some false information, when he left the podium, he looked directly at the people that were wearing the mask and said, you know, you keep being a slave, you know, keep wearing that mask or something like that. I can't remember the exact quote, but it's just
the idea that the mask wearing is compared to slavery or child abuse is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
And it does a disservice and to people who were slaves and their memory. It does a disservice to people who are actually when they are being abused. What the fuck are you talking about? It's a fucking piece of cloth over your face. How was that child abuse? What the hell is wrong with you?
People think that a mask mandate is a threat to their civil liberties. I'm like, it's an inconvenience. It's not a threat to liberty. You know, it's a fucking inconvenience.
It doesn't prevent you from doing anything.
It actually helps you be able to do stuff, right?
The government's telling you what to do and this and that. And it's like, you know, you can't go into a store, you know, no shirt, no shoes, no service. You know, it's...
Yeah.
You got a stop sign. Yes. You have to buy car insurance to drive a car in Ohio. Correct. You have to stop at traffic lights. You know,
I'm like, and that's what, you know, these all infringe on my civil liberties, you know, and what I love is these people are the ones that are going to be like, well, if so-and-so would have just complied, they wouldn't have gotten shot. You know, these are the same fucking people that is like, oh, if this person who got shot, you know, not even breaking the law, you know, it's because you're walking down the fucking street, you know, and you're black, you know.
Yeah, walking while black is not a crime that's punishable by a death sentence. Sorry.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know, if they would just comply, they would just comply. Well, how about use your own same fucking logic? Just comply. If you just fucking comply, we would get past this, and it wouldn't be a fucking problem.
By the way, nobody's making them wear a mask. If you don't want to go into a business that requires a mask, don't go into that business.
Yeah. So
order it online.
Order online.
Wait in the parking lot. They'll bring it out to you.
I think
the positiveness, if I can take anything from this board meeting, is that there was more people that came there to speak in favor of the school board and give them the respect than there was. And knowing that there was people there that were not from Cuyahoga Falls or had kids in Cuyahoga Falls, that they came in there just to cause problems for whatever reason. I don't know. I think there's more support than there is, you know, not support.
You can see it online with all of these stories. You can see that more people want protections and see the greater good and are pushing for it now, where maybe a year ago that might not have been the case.
Right.
But I think we're fucking tired of the pandemic, and everyone's like, okay, we got the data now. Research, you know, randomized trials are publishing things, so we can all see the proof because we've been in it long enough.
I'm tired of the pseudoscience dipshits.
Yeah. There's less and less of them.
They have a big voice. They're loud. And they're loud and they're obnoxious, and
they're face, and they're aggressive, and they're you know,
rude
and fucking idiots. They're morons.
The other thing to support the kids wearing masks in school would be, you know, if they have to do the hybrid or homeschool again, or virtual, then that affects people's livelihood, because then more likely the mother or somebody usually stays home and can't go back to work.
Right.
And if they do try to go back to work, then there's issues with daycare centers not having enough spaces. So it's a bigger thing than just the kids wearing a mask in school. It frees up people to get back with their life and actually make an income and do some things if they want to.
I mean, it's not foolproof. It's not 100% effective, but it is one of the best tools we have and the most simplest tools we have to use. I mean, to put a mask on your face, it's not that difficult. And to get vaccinated. I mean, go and get vaccinated. Yeah. These are the two things that we have that we can actually do something about this, so we can go back to normal, like Kathy is saying. It's not just about getting them back in school. It is also a financial burden for a lot of the parents. I mean, last year kind of sucked, and it sucked for everybody. And people were not able to go to work because their kids were at home. So if we want to get back to a quote-unquote normal, these are the steps that we have to take.
Well, and two, they're complaining that their kids shouldn't have to wear a mask. Well, the whole mask thing, just about everybody has different options. If you don't want to wear a mask, we have this option for you. You know, if you don't want to go into the store that requires a mask, you can have them, you can call ahead and you can order your groceries online and have them bring them out to you. If you don't want your kids to be wearing a mask at school, you can homeschool.
Yeah.
Don't send them to school.
And Cuyahoga Falls does have the ability to help you with that, too. It's not like you're going to be on your own. If you really have some reason you do not want your kids to wear a mask at school, that's fine. Just don't. I mean, your quote-unquote civil liberties does not supersede our civil liberties of not getting this deadly disease. I mean, our right to not be sick because you're refusing to wear a mask is going to have to be over the fact that you just don't want to put a piece of cloth on your mask, especially when there is stuff that you can do. If you don't want to go into school and you don't want to wear a mask, fine. Keep your kids at school. Have, you know, talk to the school. They'll be able to help you with that. Or like Bart was saying, you know, order groceries from the store or whatever, you know, needs to be done while we get this under control.
I will say a little side note was the best part was when they were heckling that little 10-year-old girl, and I raised my voice and I was like, would you shut the hell up? And looked right at Betty Sprague, who is running, and to look at all them, and she looked at me like, who the fuck are you talking to? And I'm like, I'm just staring her down. I'm like, I'm fucking talking to you. Yeah. You know, it's like, did you not expect somebody to sit up and or stand up and say something against you for talking shit? You know, it was just that look of all of them. They were like, oh my God, somebody's saying something. And it's like, you're
it's
not
like
going to sit
bully,
here and fucking.
The bully mentality, right? The
yeah,
bully.
I'm like, you're not going to sit there. Yeah, they were like, oh my God. And, you know, I'm like, you know what? You want to sit there and spout off your shit? Shut the fuck up. Yeah. That's what I wanted to say, you know, but
they're bullies. They're selfish. All they're thinking about, my inconvenience is against, it's reducing my civil liberties. It's infringing on my rights. That's all they can think about. They can't think about the greater good, but everyone else can, in effect, it only affects them. That's not the world where the fucking world works. The world doesn't revolve around your whims and your wants and your wishes. That's not the way the real world is.
If they truly believe that the masks don't work or whatever they truly believe, it doesn't have to get this personal. The way that they're attacking and then going after the 10-year-old or going after a speaker telling her that, you know, she needs to like go to the gym when she's as skinny as what, you know, whatnot, or talking to her about, you know, sexual things that they said that was disgusting and that kind of stuff that they're doing this. It has nothing to do with whether or not you believe a piece of cloth wears, you know, is going to stop the you know, spread of COVID or not. It was this personal attacks, and these personal attacks against this 10-year-old and 13-year-old. It is just unbelievable to me, and it just devalues their point completely where they are now just complete idiots. And I don't know. It just doesn't help the conversation at all. I mean, like I said, the one gentleman that came up and talked about it and had respect and said about, can we look at social distancing? In my mind, I'm like, yeah, I understand that it's not possible without going high rent, but at least he was respectful and we could have a conversation about it, right? I mean, it's like, well, here's why we think this won't work. And he seemed at least this, I'm really concerned about this. This is what my idea is. Instead of this like ugliness and telling people that they need to do some sexual things or go to the, you know, gym and just, it was shocking to me. I guess it wasn't shocking to me because I kind of expected it, but it was also shocking to be part of that and be sitting there and realizing that these people just kind of walk around, like, around us in society. I mean, this is kind of just
yeah,
gross.
With their Kool-Aid drinking bullshit.
Yeah.
What half their brains already leaked out of their ears.
Yeah, their cult of mentality where it's all about selfishness and not about the greater good. Me.
Yeah.
And or the fact they prefer.
They want to go back to the old days of the world, back in the, you know, 40s and 50s. That's when the greater good was actually a thing.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have got out of World War II if it wasn't for the greater good. So you definitely wouldn't fit in back then. Absolutely not.
No.
And that's what got me. They perverted the White Rose movement from what it was back in World War II for standing up against the Nazis and everything there. And now they've perverted it to making it standing up against vaccinations and masks.
Yeah, that's an absolutely fucking disgusting way of taking something that was great and meaningful.
And shitting on the
Holocaust. I mean, Jesus Christ, what the fuck is wrong with you? How can wearing masks be compared to that? What universe?
That's why I don't think it really has to do with wearing masks anymore. I mean, I don't believe it because it's got to the point where it's now these personal attacks. And there was people that are doing, you know, the Hail Hitler kind of thing. And I don't know whether or not it's because they were Nazis or they were trying to compare people that were wearing masks as being, you know, Nazis. I'm not sure what that was about, but it just got to the point where you are so far off this conversation that you're just, you've gone crazy. We should probably move on. We'll probably, let's Kathy.
Sorry, Bar.
Sorry, Kathy.
No,
sorry, I think you're going to probably have to edit some of this because it's, but I agree. It is so freaking frustrating.
So with all of this, a report in the Falls News Week has shown, according to the U.S. Department of Education, there is absolutely no clause stating that the only way schools will get their stimulus money is to require masks. They are doing it for the good of students' health.
Wow, imagine that.
Apparently, this has been a conspiracy theory.
I haven't heard anything about that.
Imagine that.
Is it too early to start drinking?
Never too early. Never too early.
Somewhere in the world, it is 6 o'clock. Yeah.
My face is red. It's just so upsetting.
Keep breathing. Take a deep breath. Do your own. Stimulates the vagus nerve, and it'll calm you down.
Let's go to Reno instead.
Oh, man. Oh, that's
I don't know what he said, but the way they were Vegas looking
nerve,
at him.
Vegas yeah. nerve, and he said yes. Go to Reno instead of Vegas. Jesus.
Oh, geez.
Fail. Bad.
We still got to get through everything, and we're going to talk about the dog, too.
We're 2 hours in.
We an hour and 20 minutes. You're right. Oh, my God. Good luck, Bart. Thank you for doing this.
Next, a new $25.5 million apartment/office park development has been approved by City Council for the west side of Wioga Lake Road, just south of Walsh Jesuit High School. Princeton Park, being built by Princeton Crossroads Investments, will have 150 apartments and an office park with commercial development. The first phase of apartments will be built this winter. However, the commercial buildings still need to be approved by the Planning Commission and Council. This should bring 185 construction jobs to the Falls and 6 permanent apartment managerial jobs.
That's cool. Do we know if anything, there's going to be like price limits on the rents or if any affordable housing mixes or age limits?
They haven't said, no.
Okay. Interesting. Well, we need more housing.
We do. Yeah, and as of right now, it's just the apartments. It looks like they're building, and they may add more to this, to the initial setting, but for now, it's going to be, I think what the article said, it was they were going to do like 85 or so now, and then they'll add up to 150 as it goes.
Yeah. This is the anecdotal evidence, but I noticed a lot recently stuff coming in my feed saying people looking desperately looking for apartments within a certain price range in the Cuyahoga Falls area. I mean, more than I've ever seen in years. Everyone's just looking for an $800,000 apartment, $700 a month apartment, one bedroom. Is it pet friendly? I mean, every time it's at least several, 2-3 a day on Talk
of
the Town.
It could be the Zuckerberg algorithm.
It could absolutely be that. You're right. But yeah, I see a lot of them. And from what I've seen, it's hard to find a place to live now. That's, you know, especially within your price range. Think about $800,000 a month for an apartment, for a crappy one bedroom apartment. That's crazy. That's more than our mortgage.
Plus, I'm kind of curious if it's going to be, if I remember right from what they were doing, because I think they were talking about this on council last time I went. That was a couple years ago. I think it's going to be like a French Mill kind of district. You know, they're doing the commercial down below, the apartments up top. My only, I don't want to say concern, but is you already have a couple commercial things up there that have been empty for a long, long time. So it's like, what kind of commercial are they looking for, you know?
Yeah, Front Street, yeah. You know, there's still some, and those newer buildings, you know, that they built, you know, there's still some openings. There's still empties, commercial empties and condo empties.
Yeah, it's got to be affordable, you know, and you have a brand new building. If you jack up the rent, it's just not, it's not going to be good.
So from there, we go to an investigation into an incident last Sunday involving a Cuyahoga Falls officer who killed a family's dog while looking for a suspect near Monroe Falls Avenue.
I've only read things on Facebook, and it seems like people who witnessed it or who knew the owners of the dog have shared things on Facebook, but I don't know any of the factual information.
I did see an article. I didn't read it. I should have.
So what are you going to say? Well, you saw an article.
Yeah, I mean, I'm speculating. This is total speculation.
No, don't speculate without the facts.
You're searching for the guy. Probably ran into a backyard and the dog.
You don't know any of that. You're just making shit up. Stop that.
Well, Mike read the article and I watched the video.
Oh, you watched the video? Oh, God.
Up to the point, you know, they stopped it right before the shooting happened.
And?
Was the dog looked like vicious? Could have been viewed as being aggressive, yes. Because what I remember seeing in the video was you see one officer, there were two officers. One was came first on the sidewalk, walking on the sidewalk, you know, flashlights going, looking through yards, whatnot, trying to find, because I believe they were trying to serve a warrant and or looking for a suspect that had open warrants. So they were looking in the area, and it looked like a female officer walking on the sidewalk, looking around. Then you see another officer, I believe it looked like a male, it's kind of fuzzy. Looked like they were walking more in the yards, like in front of the porch. And you see him, or you see the officer walking, you know, shining flashlight by the porch, whatnot, comes over to like where the driveway is and you see the dog, you see the homeowner, you know, you see him walk out into the driveway, kind of, then he looks to see what's going on. You see the dog come out, dog comes running down the driveway, and not like full speed run, but, you know, a good clip. And you see the officers separate. One goes to one to the right, if you will. One goes to the left, and the one going to the left is running through the yard of the house, and the dog is chasing. And it looked, I mean, it wasn't like a full on chase, like I'm going to get you, but it wasn't like just trotting either. I mean, it was coming after.
Was he barking? Was the dog barking too?
There was no sound. The report said that the dog was barking and whatnot. But my issue with it was I believe the officer was justified in shooting. Because you don't know the intentions of the animal, and it did look aggressive. But at the same time, the dog is protecting its property. It doesn't know that, you know, what's going on. You're on the property of, you know, they're on the territory of this dog. So the dog's
at nighttime,
reacting
with flashlights.
At nighttime,
you know,
with flashlights.
Dog's doing his job.
Dog's doing his job.
Yep.
The other question I have is, you know, I understand you're searching whatnot, and sidewalks and driveways, and, you know, the sidewalk going to your house is, you know, public property, but the officer was coming through the yard, coming through the property. You know, the first officer was on the sidewalk looking. The second officer, who was the one who shot, or I believe it was the one who fired the three or four shots, was the one walking through the yard right up against the house. You know, I'm like, is that allowed to happen during a search, shall we say? You know, are you able to walk on anyone's property without, you know?
Well, they
haven't notified you. You maybe, you know, have probable cause, whatnot.
You're pursuing
an open warrant, but you haven't notified the homeowners that, you know, you're serving a search warrant or serving a warrant, you know, or anything like that. You know, it's just because you're looking for somebody in a general area. Does that give you the rights to search or walk across everybody's yards in that area or just the one in that's on the address that's on the warrant or on for the suspect of that warrant?
I think that's a good question because that's
my
question too. I mean, he had me watch the video because I'm like, I'm not watching this video. And he's like, you don't see the dog get shot. Because my first initial thought was fire that damn cop, get him off this, you know, he shouldn't be shooting a dog because I got very emotional about it because it's a dog. It's a family dog. He's like, well, watch it. And now I'm kind of like at a 50-50 of what happened. I'm not exactly sure what happened. I guess I can kind of understand why he may have reacted like it was concerning. I don't know if he needed to shoot the dog, especially that many times. But
how about pepper spray?
Pepper spray.
That's not your first go-to, though. I mean, it's one of those things.
I am not out there. I'm not a cop. I don't know. You know, obviously, I don't know how I would react to a situation like that. But I'm also not trained. They're supposed to be really trained for situations like this. And freaking mailmen go out in people's property all the time, and you don't hear any mailmen shooting a freaking dog, you know, a family dog.
But at the same time, you don't know the intent or what's going to happen in that situation, you know.
I should say postal carriers. Or there's women in there. That was sexist. But,
delivery
people. You know, even like any delivery people you don't see. We have how many Door dashers are going out there now, and you may have a dog goes loose, and you don't hear this happening. And it's like, I don't know. I just don't know how I feel about it.
I definitely know how I feel. I think that I did not see the video. I will say that. But I know I've been around a lot of dogs, aggressive dogs and non-aggressive dogs, dogs protecting their home. And the last thing you do is run. And the last thing you do is you act aggressive toward them. You don't make eye contact, even when they're fucking chasing you and staring you down.
Right.
The best thing you do is just stand still and don't look aggressive. And most times, 9 times out of 10, they will fucking stop and sit there and bark at you. They'll stand there like 2-3 feet away and just bark and bark and bark. And they won't fucking charge you. They won't bite you.
Right.
I know that's hard to do, especially when your adrenaline's going and you're worried. And you're a police officer. You're trained to protect yourself.
Right.
And with your weapon, with your service weapon. And I understand that, but that's not how most dog behavior works.
That's easy for you or us to say that are around dogs and know dogs, you know.
Well, they should be trained for that situation.
They should be trained for that situation.
They should be.
Because quite frankly,
I think it was a bad judgment call by the officer.
It was.
I don't know. Maybe not. But
maybe more training.
More training, and then
consider training with non-lethal force when animals are coming,
or anybody. I mean, I think that's just the moral of the story, where we need to have more resources available.
Just don't end life and life out of fear. Use other techniques first.
Your service watch should be the last resort, not the first.
Yeah.
Correct.
Like, take a fucking bite on the leg first before you kill somebody's family
pet. And I
guarantee
if they would have stood there and just not stared the dog down, just been calm, the dog wouldn't have fucking bit them and they would have backed off.
In the video, we did see the owner seem to be like he was, you know, going after the dog too. And so, in my opinion, if you see the owner kind of going after the dog, trying to get the dog, I would be trying to just get away from him. I mean, you were up by the street. There was a car there. He probably could have went behind the car to get away and let the owner get control of the dog. It just felt like it was a way too immediate thing to go to the gun and shoot the dog. I mean, I wasn't in that situation. I don't necessarily think he's a horrible person or blame him per se. I just think that it was a bad judgment call. And there definitely needs to be an investigation. We need to wait and see what actually happened, because we're just speculating on the video we see and, you know, the reports of what people are saying. But if I was at home alone, and this is the stuff we were talking about with between Mike and myself, because I grew up with Old English Mastiffs, which are extremely large dogs. We know that they are 9 times out of 10 more likely to, like, lick you than bite you. I mean, they're very gentle. You know, they're called gentle giants. And stop it. They're wonderful dogs. And but they're intimidating and they're scary. And when somebody sees them, and, like, even in our house, they would jump back, you know, which was a very good feeling, as, you know, for myself, too, especially if somebody's coming to the door or they're coming on our property, you know, just having that dog there was, you know, deterrent for them to try to do anything bad. And this was a larger dog, not as large as an old English Mastiff, but it was a larger dog. It was a shepherd, and they can be, you know, intimidating looking, you know.
Totally doing its job, you know, and what it's
totally
genetics and bred for.
I wouldn't let my dog out.
I question why. Like I said, why the officer was walking right up through their yard, right up against the house. And even if it wasn't a dog, if it was a suspect, you're in a bad position if you're coming around a corner to the driveway. Yes. If somebody is hiding, you know, behind a trash can or hiding right behind that corner waiting to ambush you, you're in a bad spot. You know, you're just in a very bad situation.
Oh, yeah. And honestly, if I was home alone and, you know, and I had, you know, the Old English Mastiff there or one of our, you know, bigger dogs, and I saw somebody that was on our property at nighttime with a flashlight kind of looking, you better believe I would have let my dog out. You know, I would have let my dog out to go take care of it, you know. And if then something happened where it was actual police officer looking for something and they ended up shooting my dog, I don't think I would have been as nice as what these the dog owners are right now. I mean, they're being
They actually announced themselves as an officer, because – because, you know, as a lot of people who are gun-toting, you know, that enjoy the Second Amendment, I will say, let's say you hear all this commotion going outside with flashlights, your first inclination is it not that it's a police officer unless you saw lights.
Castle doctrine.
Correct.
You walk outside, you know, armed, you can get shot dead just for protecting your property. And that's what the dog was doing. The dog was protecting its property.
Yeah, and it happened quick. It happened very quick.
Yeah, it did. And or it could have been some kid sitting outside in the dark and jumped up, and they could have overreacted. So, I mean. Yeah.
Exactly. And that was my concern, was that it happened so quickly and it was seemed like an overreaction to it. But again, I don't know what I would have done in a similar situation, but it did seem like they go for their gun a little too quick. And that could be a training thing. I don't know. Or resourcing. I mean, I'm not sure.
Honestly, here's another thing, too, is like you were making the point of why didn't they go for the taser or why didn't they go for the pepper spray, whatever. Officers holding flashlight in the left hand, you know, your non-dominant hand, you know, you got the gun on the right hip. So in that split second for you to switch off to either you got to drop the flashlight and or grab the taser or your pepper spray, which is on your left hip, you know, in this situation, you're not going to drop the flashlight for one. You know, it's training and it's instinctive just to go drop right to the right hip and pull your weapon. But during the day may have been different because now you have a non-dominant hand, whatever, you know, you may go for the taser or pepper spray first, you know, but in this situation where your left hand has the flashlight, but then you also got the option, you could use your flashlight as a club, you know, dogs lunging at you, you know, you can, I don't want to say kick it, but, you know, raise a knee, use the flashlight, you know, shield yourself. there's other ways you could have done it, you know, so.
You could have used the flashlight. That's a really good point. You could, but, don't they have the mag lights, the big heavy things?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, looking how quick it happened, you could see the officer was startled and was like, oh shit, and was running, you know, backpedaling,
okay, so
running.
The point,
very
if it
quick.
Was a kid, would he have been that startled too? You know, I mean,
I don't think a kid would have lunged or, you know, run around the corner as quick. Like I said, it's like you
plus
see.
Plus, if there's barking, you know what's coming at you.
And yeah, I mean, you see, and both officers report that there was barking and the dog was acting aggressive, which you're right on their property. I mean, you were on the front yard, you know.
Well, our little 14-pound dog is going to act, you know, protective of the property.
Yes.
And stuff.
And that's
I mean,
the thing,
that's
too.
What they
it's
do.
Like you have a 13-pound dog, you're not going to think that, oh, that's a danger where you have a shepherd coming at you. That could cause some damage.
So the cops, I'm assuming they're saying that we have probable cause in order to be on the property. Yeah. But did they? I mean, that's what it comes down to.
And that's the thing.
To.
And that's my question is, okay, so was that the address of the suspect that they were looking for? And when not necessarily serving the warrant, but you're looking for that suspect that has open warrants, was that address? Because they were searching the neighborhood. You know, so you see the first cop walk by on the sidewalk, the second cop's on the – and between that, you see cruiser rolling down the street. You know, you see one of the Falls Cop SUVs rolling down the street. So there was an active presence, and they were looking everywhere. So does that give an officer the opportunity to walk through everybody's property or only the one where the warrant or where the address of that suspect is? That's my question. You know, like, so if we're sitting here and there's somebody, you know, three doors down that has – the suspect has open warrants that's three doors down from us, does that give the officer the right to walk through our yard, Kathy's yard, all our neighbors, you know, right up against the house? To me, like I said, you know, thinking of it, from kind of like that aspect, I'm like, for me, I wouldn't be – I'm looking for cover and where my exits are, you know, and I would not be coming around a blind corner like that necessarily. You know, I wouldn't want to be, you know, searching that close to a house where, you know, the driveway had a vehicle in it, you know. There's a lot of spots for – there's a lot of hiding spots that a suspect could be that I wouldn't want to be that close to it. I'd want to keep my distance while searching, and especially coming around a corner – I don't want to say the officer wasn't necessarily like actively expecting something to be there, you know, and that was the thing. They were just like, they'd be like us walking down a hallway and, you know, one of our, you know, kids or significant other jumping around the corner trying to scare us or just happening to be there and you're not expecting them to be there. You're like, oh shit. You know, that's the reaction that I saw in the video, you know, now it's, if you're actively looking and you're expecting something or somebody to be there, you wouldn't necessarily put yourself in that kind of situation where you're that close to not having an out, you know? And these are the stupid things that go through my head from training and whatnot, you know? It's like,
no, I think that you're making really valid points. And I know that when, you know, you and I had the conversation, I came in hot with it because I hear family dog and I'm like very emotional about it. I'm like, how dare this cop?
Like, yeah, it's something, you know, it's
this is what we're going to wait for the investigation, right?
We need to wait for the investigation.
I believe the city will be very transparent.
I have my doubts. It comes down to police union's extremely strong, and all the police departments, not just Chicago Falls, but everywhere. And even if the actions of the officer were not justified for whatever reason, I don't feel like they would be transparent about it. I don't think most places won't. I don't believe in the system anymore. It's broken.
I mean, in this instance, I believe the actions were justified and maybe not warranted, but they were justified. But I question the what led up to that incident. You know, that's where I have the problem with it. I'm like I said, it's like, you know, I personally, if I were looking for a suspect who could possibly pose a danger to myself or somebody else, I would not have been that close to cover, if you will, or, you know, to some kind of surprise.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be necessarily on the sidewalk like that was, maybe walking through the front of the yard or something. I mean, so you have a better view and you can see what's going on, you know.
It's just, if it's an active warrant out there, I mean, I don't know. They weren't out there looking for a suspect that just committed a crime, I'm assuming. I mean, these are active warrants. So they're looking for somebody to bring them in. So it's not necessarily a danger to society where they or to Cuyahoga Falls that they have to be behaving in that way. I mean, in my opinion, I don't know what the warrant was for.
They mentioned it in one of the articles, but I can't remember. But I don't think it was a violent crime. And I don't know if it was a financial thing. I can't quite remember.
Yeah.
So they just said, fair to appear in court kind of thing or something like that, maybe. I mean, or,
and they're doing this in warrants. The middle of the night or at nighttime when it's dark.
To yeah. flush somebody out of the yard for something that's nonviolent doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
But and here's the thing too is if I remember reading that they said they were a suspect in something, but that a person had open warrants. So that there may have been something else that happened that they were a suspect. They just happened to have those open warrants. And to me, I would take that as, okay, this person, you need to escalate it a little bit and treat things a little differently. You know, if they had, depending on what the warrants were for or whatever, it's like, you know, now you know it's not just the average person or whatever who didn't show for a court appearance or whatever. It's not a bench warrant or whatever. What was a warrant for? Was it something violent, nonviolent, whatever? But still at that point, you're not just doing a courtesy call or a courtesy show. You know, it has escalated a little bit. So you put yourself on a little higher sensitivity level and you don't put yourself in a position where a situation like this could arise. Yep. You know?
And that goes back to training.
Yep. And I still don't feel like they have the right training with dogs in general. I don't. Yeah. I've been around a lot of aggressive dogs, and that's, you don't, last thing you do is run. The last thing you do is show yourself as a threat.
Or as prey.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
The owner was right there. The owner was coming. I guarantee that dog would have stopped 3 feet from you and would have just barked in your face, and that would have been it. You wouldn't have had to shoot it. Everything would have been fine.
Well, whatever the outcome is, I'm sure that the officer probably feels bad about it. I mean, I would not feel very good about it.
Yeah, I mean.
Justified or not justified, I'm sure that he's not shitty. Feeling very good about it.
It is shitty. They go through a lot of bad stuff, and they see a lot of bad
things.
They
do.
And we
can
armchair quarterback it all day. Yeah.
Correct.
You know? And we weren't there in that situation. Yeah.
Wait for it. Yep. So I feel bad for the family. I feel bad for the officer.
I feel bad for everybody
the
involved. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it is not it's not black and white of this person's bad and this person's good. It's just a bad situation. And unfortunately, you know, a family dog got killed and it's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Suzanne, you got some good news to
go over this. I know we need it.
Cheer everyone up.
Well, I mean, this is going to cheer my younger daughter up big time. So allow me to use this as my good news that Raising Cane's is open, everybody.
Yes.
Woohoo!
Yes.
So it is finally open. Has anybody tried it yet?
No.
I was there the day after they opened.
Did you?
How was it?
It's still as good of food as I've had the last time I was there. They were running on two lines going around the building, and they were encouraging people to come in to order food.
Oh, shoot.
Did you get the chicken fingers or the chicken fingers?
I got chicken fingers.
You got the chicken fingers? Okay, I wasn't sure.
That's weird.
So
we normally get the chicken fingers. We've never had the chicken fingers. Well, I mean, I'd like to talk about something that I also read in, an article, and this is more of a corporate thing, but I thought it was kind of cool, since we're talking about Raising Cane's, that, you know, everybody's short-staffed. It's, you know, they're having difficulty finding people to work at restaurants and things. Well, they decided to send their corporate staff to work in their restaurants. So since they know that they're kind of short-staffed and everything like that, that they are going to be sending them and doing the, you know, the grunt of the work of the restaurant workers. And I think that that is a great idea and a great solution. Maybe that they will get a little bit more understanding of what the, you know, frontliners are doing in the restaurants and getting them out of their office and finding that out. So I thought that was an interesting way of handling this.
Kind of doing the undercover boss kind of thing.
That's what it kind of reminded of me when I was like reading this article about the undercover cop thing. But I mean,
well, we've
done
that recently at our work where we've had salespeople come in and work in the warehouse or go out on the trucks, you know, to kind of interact and see what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't necessarily see the sales side of it. I mean, we can understand it to a point, but I think a lot of the VPs and salespeople forget what it's like to actually be in the trenches and dealing with irate customers or dealing with the sheer volume of stuff that we have to load, you know. So in this situation, you know, you have these people who don't realize what it's like to be in the trenches, you know, making minimum wage or just a little bit above.
Yep. And how hard it is, I mean, to be able to deal with a lot of irate customers or the pressure of it. And these, you know, they're not making that much money to do it. And, you know, people complain about how, you know, if you don't like it, go get a better job. And then, you know, people go get a better job or they don't want to do the work anymore. Then you complain that you can't go get your, you know, chicken nuggets anymore. So I think that that was
chicken fingers, not nuggets.
Sorry.
Thank you.
All right. Chicken fingers. But I think that that
was. I like to point out that chicken.
Or tenders. I'm sorry.
Chickens have neither fingers nor tenders.
That is correct.
Oh, they got tenders.
Or nuggets.
But, I mean, I think that was a great solution and excited about it being open. And I'm sure that we're going to probably, since the youngest is home for fall break this week. So, woohoo, everybody, my child's home. We'll probably do some Raising Cane's this week and
yes,
give it a try.
I guarantee you we will be doing
Raising
Cane's.
We will report back and let you know what the, we'll probably get the chicken fingers since Bart got the chicken fingers. We want to do, you know, the opposite.
I don't want to do what Bart did.
Right.
I want to try something different.
Correct.
Maybe the Texas toast and some chicken fingers.
You know what? Their Texas toast is good. And I'm not a big fan of coleslaw, but, you know, they give you a little bit of coleslaw, and it's actually really good coleslaw. So.
It is.
Yeah. It's just no, enough. But... And is it time? Is it time, guys?
It is time.
Oh, my gosh. Bart's Arts.
So, a new local podcast premiered this week. I have not heard. I have not heard it yet. I'm sorry.
I said our competition.
The 330 is a student-run and produced podcast hosted by Cauga Falls Stowe and Hudson High School students, spotlighting local news, community events, and entertainment news. There will be segments about gaming, music, food reviews, and interviews with school administrators, as well as a teenager's perspective on local and national current events.
Is that run? Is that going to be run through the school? Or
yes,
it's
basically part of an audio engineering program.
Oh, that's awesome. Very cool.
But you can find it at www.the330.org.
Very cute.
So I wonder if anybody in that group, in that class, would want to, you know, contribute to our stuff.
Or be interviewed.
Or another be interviewed. Youth liaison.
Yeah.
Oh, Patrick is going to get replaced. He's aging out.
Yes. I wonder, well, we'll get their point of view on the mask mandates and whatnot and see what they're.
Oh, that would be a good interview, actually, to kind of talk to them about it. We'll have to listen, too, to see if we can get any tips on how to do it.
Podcast.
Yeah. They'll get followers from Colorado, too.
Yeah, maybe they will. You haven't made it until you got Colorado followers. I'll say that much.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could be a reverse internship where they teach us.
Yeah.
And it works. Whatever works.
Well, maybe they can teach us how to use Instagram better. Who knows?
Oh.
Hey.
Oh, hey now.
I'm on to you. What are you saying?
Because you know that nobody, none of them use Facebook anymore. So.
No, Facebook is out. At least that's what my kids tell me.
It'll be TikTok and Twitter.
We have to be on TikTok now.
Oh, that would be terrible.
No.
I like TikTok.
I like it, but I'm not going to
do it. I think we should do it. Do videos.
No. Bart has to do the dancing. Sorry, Bart.
Yes.
Bart.
You're
going to
have to do the dancing.
Well, we could do a TikTok at like different breweries all the time. There you go.
Oh, my God.
Zigga 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 zigga. Oi, oi, oi.
Go, 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 go.
Chug, 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 chug.
They do the TikTok of me doing the fire truck pull.
Oh my gosh, can we do a TikTok of you doing the fire? Oh, Mike is going to be doing the fire truck pull next weekend if everybody wants to come check him out and watch him.
Are you going to wear one of those back belts?
Hell if I know. Probably not.
No, he's going to hurt himself, and I'm just
damn right
there with my camera laughing. And so excited about it.
Sorry,
what
Bart.
Team are you doing it with?
Jerry James. He asked me to be on his team.
Cool.
Pulling for James or pulling for Jerry?
Pulling for Jerry, I think it is.
Yeah.
So. I did notice they're going to offer free photos, have a photographer on site, and they're going to upload them to the city website where you can download them for free.
Oh, cool.
Really?
All right. But yeah. I would rather have Steven pictures, to be honest with you.
Yes.
If I can make it that day, I will.
I plan to because I want to go see it.
Okay, I guess where I'm going. Guess I'm going anyway, whether I want to or not.
Man, that's how our relationship works, right, Mike? Hey,
yep,
that's what we're doing today.
What's going on? What are we doing? Okay.
Doing it right.
And finally, this Thursday at the Jets Building, they're hosting a night of women in music. three local singer-songwriters perform starting at 7 o'clock, including Lila Ferris, Shelby Olive, and Bethany Joy.
That should be a good night.
What kind of, do we know what kind of genre they are? Just
Bethany Joy is an indie soul and jazz singer. She's from Cleveland. Shelby Olive is more acoustic and piano, and she's from Stowe, but she teaches at fall schools.
Oh, okay.
Very cool.
And Lila Ferris is more of an acoustic singer as well.
Okay. Maybe we need to, like,
or I think, because she's also at the Paragraph Bookstore in Mount Vernon. We want to thank our listeners for joining us this week. And remember, we do want to hear your ideas for potential interviewees. You can shout them out to us at followthreepress@gmail.com. Plus, be sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts if you enjoyed what you heard. So for now, we'll say goodbye and hope you join us next week. And remember to wear a frickin' mask.
Get vaccinated.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Fallscast is a production of the Falls Free Press in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Please check out the Falls Free Press at fallsfreepress.com or on social media at facebook.com/fallsfreepress. We thank you for listening to this episode, which was recorded and edited by Bart Sullivan. Please subscribe to our podcast and tell your Call to Falls friends and family so they can listen as well.
It's like a black cat pumpkin thing. Funky looking.
Stop playing with Kaylee's stuff. Oh my gosh.